Judea during the reign of Herod, astrologers from the east arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the newborn ruler of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." At this news, Herod became greatly disturbed, as did all of Jerusalem. Summoning all the chief priests and religious scholars of the people, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they informed him. "Here is what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, since from you will come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Herod called the astrologers aside and found out from them the exact time of the star's appearance. Then he sent them to Bethlehem after having instructed them, "Go and get detailed information about the child. When you have found him, report back to me, so that I may go and offer homage to." After their audience with the ruler, they set out. The star, which they had observed at its rising, went ahead of them until it came to a standstill over the place where the child lay. They were overjoyed at seeing the star and, upon entering the house, found the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and paid homage. Then they opened their coffers and presented the child with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they went back to their own country by another route.
Four and a half weeks ago, our worship team met to determine what the theme would be for our Advent season. We pulled out that story of Mary and Sarah unexpectedly finding out that they were pregnant, and we decided to focus upon the theme of the unexpected things that happen in our lives. We didn't want to miss out on the story of Jesus being born in the manger, and so we placed that as Advent 2 and thought about all the places of refuge that we find and the people of refuge we find in our lives, just like Mary and Joseph found refuge in a barn. We didn't want to leave out the story of the shepherds and the angels, what the angels told to the shepherds about baby Jesus and how they traversed over to Mary and Joseph and prophesied about who this baby would be. So we set that as Advent 3 and focused on the messages that God places on our heart to share with others, that of prophecy. We didn't want to leave out the Magi or the horror of a king who called for the massacre of all children 2 years or younger, and how those Magi rebelled against the king of the land. And thus we have our theme, rebellion, for today. How could we have known that when the preacher sat down to prepare her sermon for this Sunday and Googled the word rebel, that story after story of rebel forces fighting in Aleppo, Syria, and photos of bloodied refugee children would flood the screen as they sought to escape the same country where Caesar Augustus called for a census right before baby Jesus was born? I've done my fair share of research this week trying to understand what is happening in Syria. In fact, my good friend from high school that I preached about last Sunday, the one I told in the hallway that I was glad he came back to school, he lives and works in Washington, D.C. now, and he sent me many charts and graphs and articles to try to help me understand that it's not easy to understand what's going on there. There are more than two sides. Every side is backed by foreign powers supplying weapons, including our own country. And there's no end of violence in sight there. The dictionary defines rebel as both a noun and a verb. A rebel can be a person rising up in opposition against an established government, or to rebel is the act of rising up in opposition against an established government. The Urban Dictionary expounds a little longer on what the definition of rebellion is. It says rebellion is defined as something all human beings have the right and the moral responsibility to do if and when their current system of government or society no longer performs legitimate functions. However, if you look up on conservative Christian websites what they have to say about rebellion, you'll find this list of 7 reasons why rebellion is bad for you. Number 1, rebellion against authority is supposedly rebellion against God. Number 2, rebellion is sin personified in Satan. Number 3, rebellion is compared to witchcraft. Number 4, the practice of evil people. Number 5, rebellion supposedly results in loss of blessings from God. They say rebellion angers God. And finally, that it results in death. Someone really wants to keep Christians from rebelling. So I find it curious that our scripture today is full of rebellion, which in fact saved Jesus' life. After Jesus' birth, astrologers from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn ruler of the Jews?" Much has been written about these visitors. Some call them kings. In fact, they do bring the most expensive gifts that their country offers. Others call them magi. That's the plural form of the word for a member of a priestly caste in ancient Persia. We do know that they were Gentile and pagan, which just means they weren't Jewish. There was a prophecy from the Jewish ancestor Jacob that said the one who was to be the Savior and Messiah would arrive when the kingdom or government of the Jews had been taken from them. Herod had fulfilled this prophecy. He wasn't from the correct lineage. He wasn't Jewish. He was a foreigner that was made king over the Jews by the Romans to the great dissatisfaction of the Jewish people. He'd been king for 30 years and warred with the Jews until finally he was able to silence and subdue them. So can you imagine outsiders to your own country walking up to the highest ruler of the land and asking where the new king has been born? You know, the one who's going to save the Jewish people after they've been oppressed by outside leadership. At this news, Herod became greatly disturbed. You think? Herod keeps his cards close to his chest, faking joy and wonder. "Go and get detailed information about the child. When you found him, report back to me so that I may go and pay him homage too." Homage is special honor or respect shown publicly, and Herod had no intention of paying anyone homage. The Magi follow the star, give their gifts, but then were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Sometimes I think we read things from olden times and believe that that was the way it happened back then, but those things can't happen now, right? God can't speak to people clearly through their dreams. And if you didn't know, I did write my master's thesis on group dream work interpretation, so you know what your pastor thinks about these things. The scripture doesn't say they questioned their dreams or struggled with whether or not to believe the message. They were obedient to the message from God in their dreams, which called for them to rebel against the instructions of the highest leader in the land. Their act of rebellion, in fact, protected Jesus from Herod, whose intent was to kill the baby, who would one day grow up to fulfill the prophecy and become king of the Jews. I think many of us rebel throughout our lives in common and predictable ways. There's the teenage rebellion, when we rebel against our parents and teachers and peers, wanting to make our own path, be our own person, find our own way. And so I'm grateful beyond measure that the story of a 12-year-old Jesus straying from his family in order to pursue his own interests and passions at the temple, causing his parents heartache and a heart attack, made its way into our scriptures. Jesus knew something about teenage rebellion. Then there's rebellion against society. The most famous examples being Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr., who rebelled nonviolently against the laws of their countries because they found those laws to be unjust. Oh, and there's the fact that they both looked to Jesus as a model or teacher for informing their own nonviolent acts of rebellion, because you know, Jesus' entire ministry was based on rebelling. He rebelled against religious and social laws that unjustly kept some people in society at the margins, turning them into outcasts, and unjustly granted special privileges to others, putting them over and above their contemporaries. One of my acts of rebellion against society was that after I was ordained and the state had legally granted me the power to sign marriage licenses, I refused to do so until the state granted me the power to sign all marriage licenses, regardless of sex or gender identity of the couple. I officiated many weddings those first few years of my ordination, but I would not sign the license, and couples had to get that signed by someone else who would do so. It was inconvenient. Not everyone at my church was happy about my decision, but I would not budge. And then in 2012, Minnesota passed marriage equality, and I was overjoyed to register my credentials the very next day at the government center. Non-cooperation with injustice is an act of rebellion. Finally, beyond teenager rebellion and rebellion against society, there is rebellion against one's faith, religion, or God. Jesus, again, is our model for this type of rebellion. Once they ran him out of the temple of his religion, he elected to preach outdoors instead. His own faith wavered in his last moments as he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? One of the most faithful and fruitful parts of my own spiritual journey has been my times of religious rebellion. When I've called for reform within religious institutions, when I've crossed through words that have outraged me in my own Bible, only to be led by teachers who helped me to navigate my broken relationship with Scripture. When I've cried out in anguish, I do not believe, God, that you exist, only to be surrounded by angels and earthly helpers sent to love on me when I was not able to keep the flow of communication open between me and my Creator. From my own study of Jesus' life and from my own personal experience, I cannot say that nonviolent rebellion is bad for us. In fact, it's often necessary and required if or when the current system of government or society no longer performs legitimate functions. So my hope today is that we can pray for the rebels in Syria and Standing Rock, for the teenage rebels, the dream-following magi rebels, the nonviolent footstep followers of Gandhi and King, for the my God, why have you forsaken me rebels, for the meek and humble who want to rebel, but it's not written in their DNA, for the loud who often lead rebellions, but don't always temper their rebellion with times of prayerful meditation. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, let us rebel by praying for all of the Herods in the world. May it be so. Amen.